Welcome to Pirkei Shoshanim Shir on Hilchos Shabbos. Today we are beginning Volume 3, Lesson Number 1. And we will be learning Simen Shin Yud Gimel, starting with Siv Vav. The beginning of Simen Shin Yud Gimel has many halachas that are negea to learn regarding the halachas of Oihel. Today we're going to be talking about Binyan and stira, building and taking apart kalim, which are movable objects, not affixed to the ground. The Mechaber says, Mito shel prokim, if you have a bed made out of detachable parts, asur lahachzira ulahatka, you're not allowed to put it back together and to tighten it, im toka, and if you actually get it together with tekiya, which we will explain that level is fitting it together very strongly, then chayev chatos, then he would even be chayev a chatos for making this keli. V'im hi darko liyasrefuya, so if it is something which is usually put together loosely, and the darko liyos, which is put in the small type font, is from the Ramah. In addition, that the Ramah puts in to the Mechaber. The Mechaber reads straight v'im hi refuya if it is loose, and the Ramah puts in darko liyos refuya, meaning it is usually put in loosely. Mutter lechatchila, then you're allowed to put it back together on Shabbos. Ublvad shelo yahadik, and this again is an addition that Ramah puts in. Ublvad shelo yahadik, you cannot make it tight. V'kais shel prokim, now we have a case not of a bed of detachable parts, but we have a cup which is made out of sections, and let's say you have the base and the cup that attaches together. Mutter leparkoi ulahachziroi is allowed to be taken apart or put together b'Shabbos on Shabbos. So we have the bed, which is aser, and the cup, which is mutter. V'yesh mi she'omer, but there are those that say, shedin hakoyis kedin hamito, that the cup is no different than the bed, just like the bed may not be put together or taken apart, so too the cup may not be put together or taken apart. Hagah, says the Ramah, v'imdarka liyos mehudak, but if it is something that is usually put together tightly, afal gav de achshav rafui, even though now you're putting it together very loosely, aser, you're not allowed to put it in together even though you're putting it loosely. Okay, so we have the Shitas HaMechaber and Ramah mentioned over here regarding putting things together by kalim, when it's allowed, when it's not allowed. But we have to examine what the parameters of these halachas are so that we could understand why and when it would be aser and when it should be mutter. So we begin our shir with a background on binyan b'kalim. Binyan b'kalim means when you are making a keli, which is a movable item, and you're putting something together, is there such a thing as an iser of binyan by kalim? So we begin with the Gemara in Be'edaf Chav Beis Amid Aleph, where it discusses putting together a menorah, which is made of different parts. Beshamay say it is aser to assemble such a menorah because of an iser of binyan b'kalim. Just like you cannot make a structure that's affixed to the ground, you cannot make build something even when it's not affixed to the ground. This hill holds that it is mutter to put together because ain binyan b'kalim. Okay, since we follow Beis Hillel, halacha, l'maisa, so then it would seem like you're allowed to take different parts of a menorah and put them together to create the menorah. That's what it would seem like from this Gemara. We have a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Vavam Ben Al that says a menorah of chulyos, a menorah made out of different discs or rings, which come apart, is allowed to be handled on Shabbos, and we're not afraid that if you move it about, it will fall apart, and he will then come to a melacha of reassembling it on Shabbos after it falls apart. Rashi explains that if one does reassemble such a menorah, it would be considered binyan bekelim. Rishonim point out, the two Gemaras contradict each other. In Be'ah, we just said, according to Beis Hillel, ein binyan bekelim, and we're not concerned about putting a menorah back together again. And in Mesechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, it seems to say that don't even handle or move such a keli because it could fall apart. And if it falls apart and you put it back together, it would be considered binyan. So that would seem to be a contradiction to the above Gemara. We have another Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, where Rav Abba and Rav Huna say it is permissible to assemble a mita shel tarsium. You're allowed to put together a bed of tarsium. Now, tarsium were people who went around from city to city to sell their wares, and they displayed their items on a table which came apart, and they carried it with them, and then they set it up when they came to another city, and they put their wares on the table, which they set up, and then after they would take it apart and then go somewhere else. So Rav Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya say that you're allowed to assemble such a table on Shabbos. The Gemara then brings Rav and Shmuel, who are very machmir, and they say, no, it's an iser da'iraisa to put together a mita shel tarsim. So the Gemara says, how could it be that according to Rav and Shmuel, it's an iser da'iraisa, and according to Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya, it's mutter even to assemble the chatchila? So the Gemara answers that they hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that if you're putting it together in a manner that is loose, then it is mutter. So the heter of Rav Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya by putting together the mitzvah shel tarsium is only when they are assembling it in a manner that it is only assembled together loosely. So that's the third Gemara. Now we have another Gemara that mentions over there in Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph further on. It talks about a plasterer's brush similar to what we would have today, a paint roller, and it had sticks that would attach to the roller to extend it so that you could reach higher or remove the stick and have a shorter stick if you want to just paint something that's lower down. And this is what they would use for plastering. So that's taken apart and put together, and although it is aser to fit them back onto the stick on Shabbos, but it would not be iser deraisa to put them in together. So we see over here that the keli, which is made of removable parts, is aser to put together, but it's not an iser deraisa. So we need to understand all these cases. What is the difference where sometimes it might be an iser deraisa, and sometimes it's an iser derabanan, and sometimes it is mutter altogether? There's another Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis, where you have over there a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel regarding attaching a handle with a hammerhead. And there's a machlekes over there, what is the iser to attach the hammerhead to the handle? So Rav holds it's a malacha of baina, and Shmuel holds it's a malacha of makke bepatish. So again, Rav says that this is a keli and it is subject to the iser of baina, Shmuel says is only subject to the Isser of Makeh B'Patish, which means you are finishing a product by putting it together and nailing it in. So how does this Gemara reconcile with the Gemara that we had earlier, that Ein Binyan Mekalim, like Beis Hillel, there is no such thing as Binyan Mekalim? So now let us go through the different Rishonim on these Gemaras, how they explain the differences and the parameters of what is considered Binyan Bekalim and what is not considered Binyan Bekalim. So Rashi, in a number of places, which we note, really learns that putting a Keli together is only an Isser of Makeh B'Patish because Baina does not apply at all to Kalim. Like Beis Hillel, like the Parsha Pshan Beis Hillel is Ein Binyan Bekalim, and therefore it's only Makeh B'Patish, which is like what Shmuel says over there in Shabbos Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. The Shita of the Ramban and the Rambam is that when do we say Ein Binyan Bekalim is when a Keli comes apart and you put it back together with ease. It's not something that requires a craftsman to reassemble it. So putting together such a keli is not considered binyan, because when the keli is in different pieces, it's not considered like it's really broken, because it's easily assembled and taken apart. So in that case, ein binyan ustir bekelim. However, when you are making something and it requires craftsmanship to build it, so then when you're making such a keli, so then the eish binyan bekelim, and then there's also stira to take it apart, because it requires craftsmanship to be put back together again, and therefore it's considered that you broke the keli, since it requires a skilled person to put it back together again. Taisvis in Ayin Dalet Amud Beis says that when do we say Yesh Binyan Bekalim? When you're making an entire Keli, which seems to be going along with the Shita of the Rishonim over here, that making a Keli from scratch is considered Binyan. Otherwise, if you have an existing Keli, even though it's taken apart, but it's easily put back together again, you don't need a craftsman to do it. So there is not an Isser of Binyan by such a case of a Keli. Taisvis in Kuf Beis Amud Beis in Shabbos says that it depends. If when you are reattaching the different parts, you're attaching it loosely and not with craftsmanship or with tightness, so then it's Ein Binyan Ustir Bekalim. However, if in order to put it back together, it has to be attached firmly, so then there would be an Isser of Binyan and Stira by Kalim, because you're doing it with a tight fit and with craftsmanship. When you have a Menorah Shel Prakim, if it does not need a tight fit, so putting it back together is not considered Baina. However, by the bed that's made of detachable parts, if it requires a tight fit back together again, so then it would be an Isser D'Oraisa of Binyan by Kalim, according to that Tosfos. In fact, Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph says that a menorah that is assembled loosely is allowed to be put together, and that is the Shita of Beis Hillel, why they say that you're allowed to put together a menorah, and they're not afraid that when a menorah is being handled, it'll fall apart and you put it back together, because when you put it back together, you're putting it back together loosely, and it's not something that requires craftsmanship and to put it together tightly, and mamela, it's considered baina. It's not considered binding when you put it together loosely. Now there is a difference between Taisus Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis and Taisus and Shabbos Kuf Beis Amud Beis, because Taisus Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis holds that only making a keli completely from scratch is considered binyan ustira. Taisus on Kuf Beis Amud Beis holds that anything that is fit back together tightly is considered being done like it's done with craftsmanship, and the male is considered baina. So the Sefer Binyan Shabbos points out that nafkamina is like this. If you have an existing keli, and you're adding an additional part to the keli. So according to Taisus Shabbos of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, you're only adding to an existing keli, but you're not making a whole keli. So even though you're putting it in tightly, it's not considered binyan ustira by kelim. So putting together, taking it apart, is not an iser deraisa of binyan ustira. According to Taisus Kuf Beis Amud Beis, it would be considered binyan ustira, because any part of a keli that has to be put together, fit together tightly, that is considered baina. So let us now go over the different opinions which we mentioned so far. Rashi holds that there's never a case of binyan bekelim. The only thing that you are over when you are making a keli tight with tight-fitting parts is the iser of makah bepatish, which is like the shita of Shmuel. Taisus learns that Beis Hillel saying you're allowed to put together a menorah if it falls apart, that is where you're putting it together loosely. If it requires a tight fit and craftsmanship, it is baina. Other Rishayim hold no, only making a keli completely is considered baina, and that's also the Taisus of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis goes along with that. Adding something to an existing keli is not considered baina, and when something is disassembled and not broken, but it's easily put back together, that's not considered baina. Now the difference between Rashi and Taisus would be, is it if it's makeh bepatish or if it is binyan bekelim, is nafkamina, what happens when you take it apart? If it's considered binyan, so then taking it apart is considered stira. So it has the sister melacha of binyan is stira. So wherever you have an iser binyan, you can have an iser of stira by taking it apart and disassembling it. On the other hand, according to Rashi, where there's no such thing as binyan bekelim, so taking it apart is not going to be a melacha of stira. And the only malacha that you're transgressing is when you're putting it together, that is makeh bepatish. But taking it apart is not a malacha according to Rashi. So now let us explain what are the parameters regarding the iser of binyan astira bekelim. What does it take to be considered an iser deraisa? What is asur midrabanan? What is going to be mutter completely? So we have three different types of attachments. We have going from the highest level, from the most severe level, which is considered an iser deraisa, to the ones that are going to be less than that. So in order for there to be an iser deraisa, you're going to have something which is tekiya. Tekiya is where you're eating, you're tightening it with force or nailing it together. You're putting something very firmly together in a way that it is really permanently together. Rafui is the lowest level, which is something put together only loosely. And hiduk is something that is pressed together and attached, but it is not such a tight and strong fit, and that is the middle ground. So we have the highest level is tekiya. The next level below that is hiduk, and the lowest level is rafui. Now the Beis Yosef brings down that according to the Rajba, that he holds that even doing hiduk on a keli is asur. This is the intermediate stage. This is level 2, and it's an asur because we're afraid that he might then attach it even more firmly or might nail it together, and therefore it's like a gezeira, it says asur midrabbanan to put something together with hiduk, because you're afraid you might do it even tightly. Now we're going to discuss something which is another category of putting things together, where the keli is generally used in a way that is not, does not, the parts are not fitting together very tightly and they're loosely assembled. So the Torah says the following: a detachable bed must not be assembled. If one tightens it with force, he is chayev a korban chatos. If it is loose, it is permissible to be put together. So again, he says, don't put together a bed which is made of separate parts. If you do put it together with force and attach it very firmly, you be chayev a korban. If you put it together loosely, it's permissible. So the Beis Yosef explains, what does it mean if it's loose? So if it's loose means that it is normally attached only loosely. So not that he is doing it loosely today, but it's always used in a manner that is fitting loosely. So then you're allowed to attach it loosely. So if something is used in a manner that it is hiduk, and hiduk over here means not the normal sense of hiduk, which was the middle ground, but hiduk over here in this context is a tight, very strongly fit together thing. So then it may not be attached loosely because he may end up doing it very firmly. The Beis Yosef proves this from another passage of the Torah, which says that one may assemble a cup with a detachable base, because it is not usually attached with hiduk, implying that one may not attach it loosely if it is usually attached tightly. So the difference between a bed and a cup, according to the Torah, seems to be, this is the way the Beis Yosef learns it, seems to be that a bed is usually put together tightly. So Mela, you can't even put it together loosely because you're afraid, being that you normally do it tightly, you might put it together tightly and you won't just be happy putting it together loosely. On the other hand, a cup, he says, is not usually put together so firmly and tightly. So it's usually put together loosely, and mimela, it's okay to put it together loosely. We're not afraid that you're going to take it a step further and do it tightly. That is the Beis Yosef's approach. Now, interesting, the Chazon Ish has a different explanation of this halacha. He explains there's a machlekes, the Tanna Kamma Shem Gamliel, regarding hiduk. This machlekes was said over there in Shabbos Daf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph regarding the bed that comes apart and puts together. So Rav Shimon Gamliel was more lenient over there to put it together, and he learns over there that Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree that you're not allowed to do tekiah. You cannot put it together firmly, you cannot nail it together for sure. But if it's hiduk, if it's done in the middle level of hiduk, which is somewhat tight, but not very, very tight, and not done with a nail, for sure not, then Rav Shimon Gamliel permits it because it does, he's not afraid he will tighten it any more than that, which if he does would lead to chatas, but Rav Shimon Gamliel was not geyser on that. You could put it together not only loosely, you could put it together tight, but not very tight. And the Chazon Ish goes through the different rayas that the Beis Yosef brought, that it would be aser, and there's a gzeira, and he disagrees with him on those points. And you're allowed to put it together loosely if normally it's attached with force. In the Mechaber, he does not mention the gzeira of putting it together loosely where something is normally done with force. However, the Rama did add it into the reading of the Shulchan Aruch, and that was Rama's opinion is that it's aser to be put together where normally it would be used tight fitting. You cannot put it together even loosely. So we have the Shulchan Aruch Harav and the Chazon Ish on one hand, how they explain the Machlaikis, a Tur and a Rami Rutenberg. The Tur brings a Rami Rutenberg that says it is forbidden to assemble a cup which is with a detachable base. So this was the second example brought by the Mechaber. In the first example of the Mita Shel Tarsi, the Mechaber said categorically it's usur to put together. In the second example of a cup that is fit together with a base, he brought two opinions, whether it is mutter or usur to put it together. So the more lenient opinion is mentioned in the tour in the name of the more strict opinion is the opinion of the Maram Mirutenberg, who says it is forbidden to assemble a cup with a detachable base, but the tour himself holds its mutter. And that is what's reflected here in the second case of the Mechaber, that some say it's okay to put the cup together and attach the parts, and some say it's not okay. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Chazon Ish understand this machlokes as follows. Maram Rutenberg, who was machmir, he holds that it's only permitted to attach it loosely, which means very loosely, because otherwise he might tighten it with force, because if he's going to do it with hiduk, which is the middle level, then we're concerned as a gzeira that he might end up doing it in the form of tekiah, which is nailing it in, or putting it with craftsmanship and force, which would be an iser deraisa. So we have three levels. You have the level of putting it loosely, and the Maram Rutenberg says he is allowed to attach the base only loosely, but the Maram Rutenberg is machmeron, is not to attach it firmly, but not extremely firmly. So that's the middle level, he's matter. And we paskin that, l'chatchila at least, we should go with the Maram Rutenberg, not to attach something even semi-tight, the middle level, because you might end up doing it firmly and with craftsmanship, which is also deraisa. However, if you want to put it together loosely, it's okay to do that. Chazon Ish is a little more lenient. He says you could rely on the tur to do hiduk on a keli, which is not usually done with tekiah, which implies the Maram Rutenberg holds that tekiah is aser, even when tekiah is not usually done, and it's commonly done just tight-fitting, but not very tight-fitting, it's still aser to do hiduk. So the Chazon Ish is saying, in the opinion of the Maharam Rutenberg, it would be aser to put something together in a way that it is considered hiduk, which is the second, the middle level, if that type of a keli is commonly done firmly like that with the middle level of attachment. However, the opposing view of the Torah is that you are allowed to put it together firmly, but not very firmly, not very tightly. So you could do level two on something which is normally attached and used with a level two attachment. Okay, so what we're coming out over here is that in this way of learning, we're saying that you are allowed to attach something according to the lenient opinion, which the Mechaber is saying, v'yesh aimrim, that by a kais you don't have binyan ustira. You're allowed to put it together in a way that is not so very tight. You can put it together even firmly, like level two, as long as it's something that is not usually put together and nailed together, level one. Bashen came by the case of the bed, it's usually put together with craftsmanship and with force, so therefore it is usur even to put it together loosely. It's usur to put it together even loosely because you might end up doing it in the normal way, which would lead to a chatas, because normally it is used with force. That would be the lenient opinion. That's why a cup is different than a bed. The Mishnah Brura is going with the opinion of the Taz, that he holds that the Tur holds that an item is not usually tightened, maybe attached loosely, and the Maram in Rutenberg is machmer on an item which is not usually attached tightly, that it's forbidden to do put together even loosely. So the Machlekes is, in the opinion of the Taz, he explains that the Maram in Rutenberg is machmer even to put it together very loosely, in a case that the keli is usually attached not so tight in level two, but you can't even do level three to attach it. That would be the opinion of Rami Rutenberg, who was machmir. According to the Tur, if it's something that you only attach with a level two attachment, which is the intermediate level, and you want to attach it loosely, which is looser than that, so then the Tur holds its mutter. But the Maram in Rutenberg is machmer. The Sharetzion, the Islam, he points out that the Tur does not really fit so well with this explanation of the Taz. But Lemaisa, he says, the Taz explains that it is referring only to the case where it usually attaches it loosely, and in that case, you are only allowed to attach it even loosely and not in level two because even in that case that case is mutter according to the Tur but not according to the Maram in Rutenberg. So let's summarize. According to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Chazon Ish, everybody agrees that if an item is not usually attached with tekiya, which is the highest level of attachment, then it is permitted to attach it loosely, which would be level three. The Tur holds that even hiduk, even level two, would be permissible in such a case where the item is not usually attached with tekiya. The Mishnah Berurah learns that the Maram holds that even loosely is aser on something which is attached even just level two usually. So the cup, which is not usually attached as firmly as the case of the bed, but still the Maram Rutenberg holds you cannot attach it at all even in a level three attachment. And the Mishnah Berurah passes the Chumrah like the Maram Rutenberg lechatchila. But in the case of Tzerech, he could rely on the Tur to attach it loosely where something is never attached with tekiah. So that explains why the case of the cup is brought separately. It's a separate category because the case of the cup is never attached with tekiah. The case of the Mita Shatarsim is usually attached very firmly and with craftsmanship, which is called Tekiya, which is the highest level of attachment, which that would be Chayv Deraisa. And in that case, you could never assemble the bed no matter what. But in the case of the cup, there is a machlaikis over there to what degree we are lenient, or if we're lenient at all. So it's a machlaikis, first of all, the Maram in Rutenberg was more machmer on the case of the cup, and that's the Yesh Omer that say that there is binyan steer by a cup, even though it's not going to be attached with tekiya, you still cannot attach it at all, according to Maram Rutenberg, in the opinion of The first way that we learned in the Machlokes that Rambam Rutam is machmer not to attach it even loosely, which is level 3, because the cup is usually attached pretty firmly. And on that, the tour disagreed that you attach it very loosely, you only do level 3 and not level 2. But in the way the Chazon Ish and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav learn, the Machlokes was to attach it in level 2. Level 1 was definitely mutter. Level 2 was the Machlokes between the Meram Rutenberg and the Tur. Meram Rutenberg was more machmer level 2, and the Tur was more mekel. Chatchila, we go with the chumra of the Meram Rutenberg, not to level 2 on the cup, but a level 3 on the cup would mean just attach it very loosely on the cup. That would be mutter, according to the way the Chazon Ish and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav learn. Okay, going back to the Mechaber, it says it's usher to reassemble the bed made of detachable parts. And in the Taz, it only tells us what malacha is it usher to be done. It's usher to doing because you're doing makeh bepatish, which is the shita of Rashi. Magen Avraham says no, it's making a keli, because when you attach the piece of the bed together, you are making it, and you're doing it with putting it together tightly, is craftsmanship, and with force, and that's considered making an entire keli, which is going to be usur because of binyan bekelim in such a way. And that reflects the opinion of the other Rishonim other than Rashi. Eli Rabba says, the nafkamina between the way the Taz learns and the Magen Avraham learns is what we said before, that if it's makeh bepatish, so then taking it apart is not a malacha. However, if the isur is binyan, then taking it apart is a malacha called stira. Mechaber then goes on to say, if it is normally put together loosely, it's permitted to put together, provided that he does not tighten it. So the way this is understood is that the Mechaber was saying, however, if it is loose, you could put it together. And the Ramah says it has to be that it's normally loose, not that you're doing it loosely. Has to be normally loose, and then you are putting it together loosely, and then you're allowed to do it, but not tightly. And that we explain the different ways of understanding that. What happens when you have something that screws on? So you could have a case with a base that screws on. So you find that a lot of times by a candelabra, by a leichter, where the top screws into the base. And what would be if you have something like that? What is the malacha of screwing it together? Is that considered like a malacha d'oraisa of something which is done with craftsmanship and force because it's very tight or not? Maybe it's different. So the Sharatzin and Sifkat Lamed Beis brings from the Taz that holds that a screw-on attachment to put something together is not considered a deraisa, it's only considered like level 2 of hiduk, which is the middle ground, and it's only an iser drabanan. He knows that the Magen Avraham seems to hold that anytime you screw something together tightly, it's considered tekias, like you're nailing it together, and it's an iser deraisa of baina when you attach something with a screw-on type of attachment. For example, the case of a cup, where the base of the cup is screwed into the cup itself, that would be considered iser d'oraisa. So it's machlokes, the Taz and the Magen Avraham, whether something that attaches by screwing it together, if that's considered a middle ground, a middle level, level 2 type of attachment, or it's considered like a level 1, which is considered tekia d'oraisa. Now, what's the reason that it should not be a deraisa? So the Maimon Mordechai learns that using a screwing thing together is really mutter, and at worst it would be an issur rabbanan. L'maisa, he doesn't say you should be mekel, and he holds l'maisa we should be machmer, that's even asur deraisa, but his argument is that when something screws together, it also comes apart easily. So usually when something, a base and the cup are attached with a screw type of attachment, so it also comes apart like that. So it's not like you're nailing something together or putting something in very tightly where it's very difficult to take it apart. So mela, it would not be a deraisa. On the other hand, you could say it's not how hard it is, but it's the quality, how well it's put together. Something that's screwed to the base is very well attached to its base. And in mela, that would be considered deraisa because of the quality of the attachment. So those are the two different angles that we could look at this case of attaching the cup to the base. L'maisa, anything that screws together to the base is usur, and you cannot even attach it loosely because we're very simply afraid that you might do it and attach it even stronger. As mentioned before, the Rambam holds anything which is put together either with nails or with screws, or even wedging two pieces of wood together, are issur deraisa. Okay, so then you cannot attach anything that would be put together firmly. Could be an issur deraisa, and even something that's screwed onto the base, like a cup that's screwed onto its base, would possibly be a transgression of the deraisa because of the quality of the attachment. Now let's go through some of the cases that are practical cases. What happens if you have a handle of a cabinet that comes off? Are you allowed to reattach it loosely to the cabinet or not? So there we say there's a gzeira over there, because you might then come to do tekiya, and any time you might come to tekiya, so you're not allowed to attach it even loosely. Okay, if it would be a structure, if you were attaching a handle to a door of a house, which is considered attached to the ground, that would be for sure an issur deraisa of boina, even when you attach it loosely, because the difference between binyan bakarka and the binyan bakalim is, in a case of binyan bakarka, it's much more strict putting any attachment that attaches to the structure, even though it's not firmly attached. I'll give you an example. An example would be, let's say you have a floor vent, and the floor vent is not screwed into the floor, it's basically sitting in the vent that's in the floor. It doesn't move around because it has a lip, and it's inserted into the vent at the bottom, and it does not move around. What happens if that comes out? Putting it back, you're not doing much, but being that it is a structure and you're adding something to the structure by putting it into its place, that would be considered an issur deraisa. So it doesn't matter on the strength of the attachment by a karka, we were much more machmer. Let's say you have a temple of your eyeglass that came apart, the screw came out, and you lost the screw. Okay, if you lost the screw, then you're going to have to improvise and do something to put through the screw hole to attach it. Or even if you have the screw, and you want to screw it together, what is the issur? So it's a keli, it's not a thing. So if you put it together with the screw, so then you're doing it with craftsmanship, because the quality of the attachment is a very good attachment, and it's a permanent type of attachment, so that would be definitely usur, and might even be an issur deraisa. To put it in loosely, it's also usur, because we're afraid you might come to tighten it and do it even. If you lost the screw, then we're not afraid that you're going to put it in tightly because you don't have the screw, and then you could just put it in together and use it like that loosely without sticking anything and wedging anything into the temple into the area where you would normally put the screw, but you could just fit it in loosely over there. It's okay. If the stick of a broomstick comes apart, you may not screw it back to the base, even loosely, because again, we're afraid that you will put it in tightly, and that would be considered making a keli with a strong connection, and it's usur. Okay, so then that brings us to the subject of lid covers. You have a jar, and the jar has a lid that screws on. So what do you say about that? Is that considered a quality attachment, and it should be usur? But obviously not. Obviously, we open and close jars that screw on together. So what is the meaning of that? The Torah says, because the keli is used by opening and closing it, that is the normal way. It's not something that you close and you leave closed in order to use it closed. The opposite is true. You need to open it to use it. You close it when you finish using it. When you want to use it, you got to open it again. So it's constantly being opened and closed, and it's not viewed as an attachment that is attached together as something to become part of the keli, because it is part of the keli to be used on and off. So therefore, it's not a problem. Likewise, a baby bottle which could only be used when you screw the nipple on top of the baby bottle. So that's the way you use it. But nevertheless, in order to use it, you have to refill it. You use it, you put the bottle, you put the nipple on the bottle, close it, and then the baby drinks from it. When it's empty, you wash it out, you take it apart. So it's constantly being opened and closed, even though the usage of it is being used bedafka with the nipple screwed onto the bottle, but still, that's not considered making a keli or breaking a keli when you take it apart, because it is a keli meant to be used open and closed. And we give other various examples of such kelim that are used in a way that they're open and closed all the time. The issue does come up by a salt shaker. Now, the salt shaker is something that you fill up and you put the screw on top, which is perforated, and the salt flows through that perforation, and it's left on for a long time. But still, again, it's not viewed as an attachment to the keli. It is considered something that is meant to be opened and closed whenever you finish it. A little bit more complicated is a case of a ketchup bottle. A ketchup bottle, if you have the type of a flip top where you use it with the top on all the time and you squeeze it through an opening that's in the top. So what happens when you're starting a bottle of ketchup of such a nature, which has a flip top plastic bottle, and you squeeze it through the flip top of the ketchup cap? The issue is, let's say you're starting such a bottle. So normally it comes with a seal underneath the cap. So on Shabbos, you're starting a new bottle of ketchup. You have to unscrew the cap, take off the seal, and then put the screw back on. Once you do that, you may never end up removing the cap because it's a plastic throwaway bottle, and you're screwing on the cap, and that's going to be used with the cap on. You just flip open the cap. There's a hole in the cap which you squeeze the ketchup through, and you will continue to use like that with the cap never removed. In that case, there's more of a reason to be machmer not to put it on, because the usage is only one way. Once you screw that cap back on after removing the inner foil, you never remove the cap. So if you never remove the cap, is permanently together, so that might be considered an attachment which is done to use the keli in that manner without removing it. So this is more of a shaila. Sometimes a housewife that uses ketchup for in larger quantities than at the table may end up unscrewing that ketchup bottle to use it, let's say to put a larger amount into her ground meat recipe or into her cholent, and then they don't just squeeze it through the top, they might unscrew the top. So then it's like any other keli that is sometimes unscrewed and sometimes used with the screw top on and sometimes without it, that'd be more lenient. But if it's something that is never unscrewed by this person, and that's how he uses it all the time until it's finished and then he throws it away, that would be a bigger issue to remove it on Shabbos for the first time and remove the foil and then close it again. In the case of something which is attached, like the salt shaker, there's two different approaches. So we mentioned one approach is because that's the way the keli is used, and that's the Chazon Ish's approach. Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a different approach, and he says that these things are easily opened and closed. They're meant to be opened and closed, and therefore it does not require any great skill to open and close it, and therefore it's not considered making or breaking a keli by opening or closing the thid. And that would be nafkamina by the case of the ketchup bottle, which we just mentioned. According to Shlomo Zalman, l'chayre, it would be something that is not a problem because it comes on and off easily. L'chayre, this case is similar to what we have later on by the syringe, which of Shlomo Zalman Orbach corresponded with Dayan Weiss, Mechaber of the Minchas Yitzchak, regarding attaching a needle to a syringe on Shabbos. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was more makel over there because it's just being used for a short period of time and it's being disposed of and it's not necessarily considered making a keli. Over there, it's sort of similar to what we're talking about over here. It's never going to be taken apart. It's going to be disposed of like that, but it does screw on and off easier, so it might be similar to that. And that's the discussion over there, whether it's mutter or not. Rav Shlomo Zalman was more lenient with that. That may be more with the reasoning over here that it comes apart easily, and not necessarily that you take it apart. The thermos flask is a good example over here. If you are unscrewing the inner jar, the inner glass jar from the plastic outside holder of that jar, so that's something that is put firmly in place and left like that for the duration. You barely ever unscrew. That's not meant to be unscrewed. So screwing that together would be aser l'chayre according to everyone. However, the cap that screws in and the cup which screws onto it on top of the thermos is not a problem at all. Putting together Lego pieces, being that they are easily assembled and disassembled, should be mutzer to play with it. That's again according to Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And according to Chazon Ish, also the svara is if they are meant to be put together and then broken apart, which is normally how you would use Lego. Although sometimes if you make something that's very intricate and you want to keep it like that, that might be a different issue, because that in that case you're putting it together and it's a tight fit, it's a quality fit, and it could last for a very long time like that. And if you don't plan to take it apart and you want to display it with the nice thing that you built from the Lego pieces, that might be a bigger issue. But when children generally play it and they build something and they smash it apart, that is less of an issue. And that's something that's like something that's put together and taken apart all the time. Then we get to the issue of a shtender. So the shtender has different types of shtenders. Sometimes you have adjustable shtenders which have screws on the side that don't screw into the metal necessarily, but they they push and they wedge against the metal to keep it firmly in place. It does not penetrate the metal, but just pushes onto the metal and keeps it in place. And those are generally adjusted to the height of the person. So depending on the person, if he usually leaves it in place for a very long time and does not adjust it to different heights all the time, it becomes more of an issue of attachment, which might be usher to be done. On the one hand, it's easily removed, which is the svar of Shlomo Zalman. On the other hand, if it's not always attached, the Chazon Ish would be more machmer on that. So that would be an issue. Things that just clip together, like the clips that go through the holes, but they are not screwed into the holes, they're just pegs that are on springs that go through the holes. Those things also are similar in nature, depending how often you readjust the height. Generally speaking, the oilam is more makel on those type of attachments. Likewise, you have baby trays that attach to the high chair. That's not considered any issue of attachment, because that's how it's used. You put it on, take it off. Adding a leaf to the table also is an existing table, which is already put together, just making it longer. You could put the leaf on and take it off. It's not a strong attachment, and it's something that could easily be taken out, and it's never nailed together, so that's okay. If your lens came out of your glasses, that's ready depending on how firmly they fit in. If they fit in very firmly, that's going to be a problem of attaching it, because it is at least like a level 2 type of attachment. If you pop it back into place, that would be usser, and then it might be even usser to do it loosely if it normally is done with hiduk, and that would be b'shas hadchak, maybe mutter, because if it cannot be done with nailing it together, if your lenses are in a plastic frame and they're not screwed together, it's just popped in and out and it's never done with craftsmanship, you could just pop it in and out, so then there might be mokem lahakel to put it back in with loosely, not tight, not fully in. If it's something which is quite loose and it just, you know, keeps on falling out, just without much, so putting it in loosely is going to be mutter, because in that case it only fits loosely, and when you put it in, it's really something that could easily fall out, so then it might be, then it should be mutter. So these are an overview of most of the cases a lot of practical cases that we have in this year. There are some other examples over there which kedai to go through, and the halachas are very much negeya to different settings. One more case of the cribs that are one piece cribs that fold up and pop into place and are folded down to put away from place are also something that is mutter to be done, because they're not never done with force and craftsmanship. It's something that is designed in that way, easily pops together and comes apart, and the pieces don't pull apart. The pieces are always attached together, and that's going to be mutter as well.